So we're doing a few halachot in preparation for Yom Kippur. I guess we'll start with the halachot of tshuva. If a person transgressed any mitzvah of the Torah, so part of the tshuva over that mitzvah, doesn't matter if it's an asay or a los asay, a person missed benching. So he missed a mitzvah at asay, a person missed davening, a person missed kriyashma in time, in the morning, at night, he missed tefillin one day. So he missed the mitzvah, as I say. A person ate non-kosher. A person said lashon hara. So then there are los asay. We know there are asay and los asay, proactive and prohibitive commandments. So it doesn't matter whether he did it on purpose or by mistake. Part of the tshuva is that a person regrets and he confesses before his Creator. And that's a biblical mitzvah. And the idea is, he says, please, Hashem, I have sinned, either by mistake or on purpose or rebelliously, and this is what I did. Meaning a person shouldn't say it out loud, but he says it between him and his Creator, and he verbalizes, he says, I did such and such, and I regret it, I'm embarrassed what I did, and I'm never going to do it again. And that's, in essence, that's the vidui. Now, the more a person elaborates, the more he's sincere about his regret, his remorse, so then the better it is, as far as his tshuva. We don't have a temple today, so we cannot bring sacrifices to atone for our sins. So the atonement is really in our tshuva. And even if a person spent his life doing things that were improper, but ultimately he does a real tshuva at the end of his days, so then his wickedness can be erased. And we say that Yom Kippur is a powerful day in the removal of sin, but the strength of Yom Kippur is to erase the sins of those who do real tshuva. If someone did something harmful, hurtful, even monetarily damaging to his friend, so he has to, firstly, he has to repay. If he broke his friend's window, it's not enough to say, I'm sorry, he has to pay him up for it. And atonement for the sin is only achieved when he really does Toda Rabba. When he really does tshuva, together with the rectification of what he has wronged his friend. So he has to apologize, he has to attain his friend's forgiveness, and to also speak to his Creator, and apologize to his Creator. We say every mitzvah ben adam l'chaviro, every mitzvah that's interpersonal, is also a mitzvah between man and his Creator. Hashem told us that we have to behave. And so the interpersonal mitzvot have this dual nature, and so their tshuva, their repentance, also has a dual nature. First, make amends with your friend, and then speak to one's Creator. The big challenge in this is with the people we are closest to, our best friend, our siblings, our parents, our spouse. These are things that are very difficult, but they're still our responsibility. Person has to make amends. Now, the Gemara tells us that a complete tshuva is verified when a person revisits the exact scenario and he has the exact temptation and the exact capacity to do the same sin with the same desire, and he doesn't. And the whole thing, what's holding him back is the fact that he did tshuva. Not because he's scared or someone's going to catch him or because he's weak at this point. So that's an example of a complete tshuva. And if a person does a complete tshuva, and he passes away having done tshuva, so then all his sins are forgiven. So how do we do tshuva? So first is a person has to stop sinning. You know, a guy says, I'm sorry I insulted you, you fathead. Okay, you know, you gotta stop doing the sin. It's not enough to say I'm sorry about yesterday, you gotta stop today. A person has to remove the sin from his way of thought. Person has to decide that he's changing his way of life. He has to decide that he's no longer going to continue doing that. And these aren't easy steps. Meaning, if tshuva only involved being sorry about the past, it would be much easier. The second tshuva involves changing our way of life. Deciding I will never again do that, that's hard. A lot of people want to diet. A lot of people regret that they ate the cake yesterday. But ask them, are they willing to come to a decision, I'm not going to eat cake tonight? That's a different story. Tonight's a new night. You know, what's 5 calories? What's 500 calories? I could cheat a little. It's very, very powerful when a person can say, I'm leaving this. I'm not going to do it again. I regret that I ever did it. And I've decided I will never again do it. To really regret that I did it, you know, I regret I gained the pounds. Do I regret I enjoyed the cake? So part of the tshuva is that a person regrets what he did. And when a person can do this type of tshuva, so then the one above, who really knows all our secrets, he can attest he's never going to do it again, because he did a real tshuva. Now, the verbal confession that a person does, that a person says these things. He says, Ribon Shel Olam, I've decided I'm never going to do that. I regret I did it. And I've decided I won't do it again. These things are important. They're important to verbalize. And if a person does what many people do, and what is most easy for us to do, he confesses, he says, Hashem, I missed Kriya Shema this morning. I didn't say Shema on time. But he hasn't really decided that he's going to ensure that he wakes up on time tomorrow. So then that's not a real tshuva. It's like a person trying to purify himself while he's holding the defiled vermin in his hand. And so a person has to take time and think it out. What are the things he wants to do tshuva on? And he has to delineate them. Because in his tshuva, in his vidui, in his davening, a person has to express exactly what he's talking about. So if a person wants to be true to the task, he has to take time and paper and sit down and write it out. Those of you who have been here at Mechon Meir know that when I daven, I have a lot of papers in my hand. Some of them are people I'm davening about, and some of them are about myself. What am I davening about? Now, we have 10 days, which were designated in the beginning of the year, which is a fantastic concept. That we start the year, we don't end the year, we start the year with tshuva. Think about it, what does that mean? We start the year being close to Hashem, we start the year with a tremendous capacity of coming close to Hashem. And the apex of it all is on Yom Kippur itself. Hashem says, this is the time, I'm waiting for you. And so we focus on it. Obviously we prepare the month before, the whole month of Elul, but the focal point is these 10 days with the apex being Yom Kippur. And we mentioned already that tshuva and Yom Kippur only work for prohibitions between man and God, or between man and his friend when he's rectified the situation, when he's asked forgiveness. Now, sometimes the guy is not willing to forgive. You embarrassed me in front of everyone. I'm not going to forgive you. So different circumstances require different efforts to attain forgiveness. Chazal tell us sometimes the proper thing is to bring three friends. Bring three of his friends along and let them start asking him, look, he really feels bad, he regrets it, maybe you could forgive him. If it doesn't happen the first time, so our sages say, try a second time. Maybe if you bring different friends, it'll work better. It doesn't work the second time, try a third time. If after three times he's not willing, so then Chazal say it depends. If it's someone who's responsible to educate us, if it's our Rebbe, if it's our parent, so then we have to keep trying. You don't give up after three times, because maybe they're playing hardball because we deserve it, because they see that we don't deserve their forgiveness yet. If it's just a regular friend, so then Chazal say after three times you can let go. If you've sincerely tried, so then he's the sinner and you've done yours. Chazal say that we shouldn't be cruel, and we should be forgiving. And when someone asks us for forgiveness, we should be willing and forgiving. And even if he really doesn't deserve it, the way of Israel is that we don't bear grudges. We are forgiving people, and we should forgive. we run into a question. Someone asks us for forgiveness, and intellectually we know we should forgive him, but emotionally we're still hurt. And so then the question arises, what's it worth if I tell him I forgive you when my heart is still bleeding? I say it, but I don't really mean it emotionally. Intellectually, I know I should, so I can bring myself to say I forgive him. I can even bring myself to say it in prayer, God, I don't want him to suffer on my account. I forgive him. But you'll ask me, how do I feel? I'm still hurt. So it depends a little bit. The general rule that Rav Salant said is that in these things, we say once you've said it, then that's what counts in heaven. In heaven they say, if you've said it, so we're willing to erase the sin. At the same time, it depends on the relationship. There can be times where it is productive to tell the person, you should know I'm hurt, and I forgive you, but you should know I'm still hurt. And then maybe the person will make better amends. Maybe the person will take the time to understand how deeply he hurt you, and you'll really be able to resolve the situation. Sometimes it's just an issue of time. Sometimes a person has to work on himself and say, I have to be able to let go. It's not right. The person asked forgiveness, and we're all human, and I know that I've undoubtedly hurt people's feelings unintentionally, and I also don't understand the depths of how I've hurt their feelings, and so just as I would want them to forgive me, I have to work on myself to forgive those who have hurt me. That's the question here. But in heaven, we have to know that Rav Salant said that if you say the person is forgiven, even if you can't bring yourself to feel it, but having said it carries that weight.